Last week, I was working one day, and a police officer came down Chestnut Street, and I was standing there, and he stopped, and he rolled down his window, and he said, "Mr. Weaver." And I said, "Yes, and you remember me?" I said, "I'm sorry, I don't." He said, "I'm Christian." And then it connected, I connected. He was one of the young boys in our Bible club years ago, in the early parts of our Bible club ministry here. Some of you may remember those boys that were quite mischievous and hard to understand what to do with them at times. And now he is grown up and stopping by and wanting to see how we're doing. He said, "How's the family doing?" And we had a good talk. I said, "Christian, can I take a picture of you?" And so I walked a little closer and I took a picture that I have on my phone. And we talked for quite a while. And I said, this is just exciting to see what you are becoming. And I have his direct number. And now he is my authority, and I answer to him. And it was just a precious time to just, I actually cried a little bit after that. It was just, I share this story just as we're starting Bible clubs again, and those of you who are involved in that, just to hear the appreciation that he is expressing for our family and our church, and I have his direct number. He cares about our safety, and I want to say, "Hey, can I jump in? I always wanted to drive a cruiser and turn the lights on. Can I jump in and take a cruise and or sit beside you?" And then I realize that that doesn't fit me. And just following Brian's sermons on church and state and the condition our country is in and trying to sort through these lines that happen and the reasons why that I couldn't serve as a police officer several months ago, a good friend right across the street was in town, and you remember the story, Brian, and yeah, he was not living right and doing right, but he was shot and killed by the police. And that was a hard time, and just another time where I reinforced my convictions that I could not preach the gospel, and I was also shoot someone. And it's just, they don't go together. And I could never have been there, and the role of a police officer is hard. And so I know two of them very well, and they have a deep respect for my calling and will defend us in any way, shape, or form they can. And I appreciate that. And on the other side, I also respect their calling. And Romans 13 says that there are governments that are in place by God to promote safety and well-being so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. And so that was just a testimony I want to share and just an encouragement for everyone involved in kingdom work. And although we don't support that and recognize that as Christian calling, we still appreciate, we need police officers and we need prisons and we need restraints on evil. If all restraints on evil were taken away, this country would be different. And so that is very important. But it's not the Christian's calling. I also, Shenandoah has a new code officer, and it's just interesting how God works, and it's someone I knew and worked with and knew him well, and he just took that role recently, and yeah, he's calling on the phone, and he's working with me and helping to clean up trash, and working together, and there was a time in his life when he was going through a difficult time, and I walked with him, and he said, "You will ever, forever be my friend." And so I share those testimonies. It was just an encouragement to me to continue on in our ministry, in our church, and to keep on doing good and serving God, and it should consume our time. I wouldn't have time to serve in those offices, and there's so much work to do, and the Christian's calling is very important. And we need Christians that are alive and serving well in the kingdom of God, restraining evil and bringing about growth in the kingdom of God and changed lives, as Brian said, the transformation that can take place in the heart. We're about helping that. We're not about shooting the ones that are disobeying the laws, and we're not sending people to prison and all of those things, but we recognize the state is called to do those duties. But we want to see lives changed. And I asked the question many times after Brian was shot, did I do everything that I could to bring him into the kingdom of God? And did I do my job and my duty? And it is now in the hands of God, and so I rest with that. I want to preach this morning on suffering, and from the Bible, the Christian's call to suffer. It is hard. As I was preparing this and reading the scriptures, it is hard for us living in America, living in peace and prosperity, to keep our minds free from the thinking of the American mind, if I can say it that way, is we're entitled to peace and prosperity, and we're entitled to a good life and all of these freedoms that we have, and we can develop an entitlement mindset, where we think that what we've experienced all these years needs to continue. And the Bible does not say that. And that's kind of the gist of the message, somewhat along Brian's line of keeping a good clear line between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. And understanding the calling of Christians. It is the call of Christians to suffer and to endure hardships. Just to start, I want to use 1 Peter 4 as a text, but there's one verse I want to use as an introduction. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Everyone. So that's all-inclusive. Everyone that lives godly and follows the Lord, it says all of us will suffer persecution. So why are we spared from persecution? And is that a test of our walk with God? And I believe we all should be able to identify in some way a level of persecution that we endure and we experience. And I'm going through one right now in the business realm. And being a landlord is not always easy. And there's just some things that I went through and false accusations and so forth that have been hard for me. But that's just one level. But also convictions that we hold and standing for truth and standing up and being a true Christian can bring and should bring. I think all of us should be able to identify to a degree a level of persecution. Because we're living godly, because we're God's children, we are called to suffer persecution. Everyone, it says, will suffer persecution. And so the Christian life is not always easy. The Christian life and standing for truth and holding firm in our beliefs is not easy. There will be hard decisions that we face. There will be people that will come against us. There will be people that mock us. There will not always be an easy path for us. That's what that is saying. So when we choose Christianity and when we true and preach the gospel and call people to Christ, we need to include this is not always the easy life. This is not choosing a bed of roses. This is choosing to follow Jesus and also having the mind of Christ and thinking the way Jesus does think and follow the Lord. So it is not always an easy life. It is sometimes hard, and most times hard. Even though we live in America, we should be able to identify with a level of persecution, a time when we had to make decisions that were hard, and it was hard. And I believe there's a balance there that we need to have. You know, there's also joy in serving the Lord, and there's also a freedom. And it is the best way to live, even though it's the hardest way. It is the best way to live. So you can turn to 1 Peter 4. And I want to use 1 Peter 4 this morning. And in here, it's a clear call to suffering. If Peter was here this morning preaching, he'd probably say, what we're living through is just not normal. And what the early church had to suffer and what they went through, and many times through history, it was not times like we are experiencing. If Menno Simons would come here and see his name on our church, I would love to hear what he would have to say. All that Menno Simons went through, and the times when he was persecuted, and all the Anabaptists' persecution, what would they say of our times today? And what would be the word they would have for us in our time? Every page of history is different, and we are living in different times, and I recognize that. But Peter, in 1 Peter 4, he says, we are to, as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So the first point is arming your mind, or putting on the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ here that he's calling us to is arm yourself with the mind of Christ and arm yourself to suffer. Even in America and even in our freedoms, I think it is important that we have the mindset and that we make sure we never develop a mindset that we're entitled to peace and prosperity, we're entitled to be treated kindly for our Christian lives. It is not always that way. It is a blessing when that can happen, when you have the respect of the police officer and when you have the respect of those in town, the authorities in town. But it is not always that way. But I believe it is a blessing, and we should strive for that to happen, although we cannot expect that always to be the case. Ephesians says we're to put on the whole armor of God, and so to put on the armor of God and to be dressed with spiritual armor and the protection that prepares us for the battle. You read through Ephesians chapter 6 and you would not want to go out into spiritual battle without the armor on. And it's clearly laid out there, the Christian armor that we're to put on. And here we're arming our minds with a mindset, and we think and we understand that the Christian's calling is to suffer. We need to have that foundation well laid, and we're convicted, and it is a deep conviction in our hearts that we are called to suffer, and we could never kill. We could never go to war. We could never shoot someone. We could never pull out a gun and take a life. It's just something I could never do. Because I'm a Christian and because my calling is different. Some have accused me already with that and said you want someone else to do your dirty work. And you think about that a little bit. Dirty work or the hard work or that kind of work. Fighting wars and serving as a police officer is not always easy. You hear accounts where they're called into difficult situations for your peace. And how should we respond to that? Someone told me already as I was witnessing and talking to him, you want our children to go out and get killed in war while you are living in peace and prosperity and you're sleeping, enjoying life while my children are getting killed. How should we think about that? And how would you respond to someone that says and accuses you of that? And my response was that I'm sorry that that happens, but in church history, many have given their lives for Christ and many have been burned at the stake. True Christianity is a life of suffering. True Christianity and my calling as a Christian, as a pastor, but I don't believe that is any different than everyone's calling, is to be preachers and to be sharing the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and to be all in saving souls and transformation of lives. That's what we're all about. Any way, shape, or form that we can help families back together again. Any way, shape, or form we can help a life, someone who's struggling with sin and caught in sin, we can point them to the Lord and we can help them through Bible study and Bible clubs and whatever it is. It's all inclusive and it takes all of our time. And many have given their lives for the Lord. So we are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was my answer. And I believe it is very important that we live up to that. And that we are those kinds of soldiers. And that we are willing to die for the Lord if that is our calling. We are all in for God. And we understand and we arm our minds with the mind of Christ that we are called to suffer. We're not going to let the American mindset in many ways is not Christian. And I say that carefully. And I say that there's many things I enjoy about our country. But I realize that it is not that way every time. And if America would fall and we would become a country like all other countries and a third world country, the kingdom of God still stands. No matter what happens in this election coming up, the kingdom of God still stands and souls can get saved. And we must be assured of that and we must recognize that. And that's a challenge to myself. We cannot think that with one way or the other, whichever the way this goes, we're doomed. The kingdom of God stands, is not dependent upon the United States of America. And so, let's arm ourselves with a mind to suffer. And that's the gist of the message this morning. The mind of Christ, Christians are called to suffer. And Christians are called to live out their faith, even if it gets hard. And even if freedoms are taken away, we must stand strong and arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. Because chapter 3 talks about how Jesus suffered. If you go back into chapter 3, it talks about suffering throughout the whole book of Peter is a book on suffering. But we are called, even amidst of that, to continue doing good and doing the best that we can to help better people's lives and lead people to the Lord. And if that includes suffering or being falsely accused or treated wrongly or spoken evil of, yes, I was told that I'm not as holy as I tend to be. And that was kind of like a, wow. I had to think about that one. You talk about like you're this holy person, but you're not really that holy. Some of those things you can expect to happen. And if that ever happens to you, you have to really consider, is there some truth to that? And we need to guard our life of holiness and recognize that they said a lot of things about Jesus, too, that were not true. The mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, he thought it not robbery, being equal with God. He took the greatest step down and he came down to humanity and identified with us. He made of himself no reputation. Jesus, it says that he did not guard his reputation, but he did what the Father said. He did the Father's will. He was obedient even unto death. He followed the Lord and the will of the Father for his life all the way till death. He took the cup and he suffered and he died. He was obedient. And because he lived that life, he took the greatest step down, and all of us must take that step down where we come down to nothing and we empty ourselves, and then we can live the Christian life. Jesus took the greatest step down, and because of that, God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. The way up is down. The way to exaltation is humility. And whosoever will exalt himself shall be abased, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. And that is the mind of Christ. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ, with the same mind. It says in this verse that we're to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What is that saying? Does that mean that we have to suffer in order to quit sinning? He that has suffered hath ceased from sin. I believe, as I understand this, that as we take on the mind of Christ and as we embrace a life of suffering and as we accept God's will for our life and we follow Him and we're called to suffer, it is proof that we are dead to sin. As Romans 6 says that we are to... There were some that believed that we should sin all the more, that all the more grace can come. And Romans 6, Paul there says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We need to be crucified with Christ and have the identity, identify with Christ in His crucifixion, where the old man is crucified, and we are buried with Christ by baptism, and we have been risen with Christ, and we're now walking a new life. And so we're crucified, buried, and risen with Christ. And that's the picture that I believe this is talking about. We do not continue on in patterns of sin or continue on in a habitual life of sin, but rather that is put to death. And now we embrace Christ and we follow Him, and that will include suffering at times. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so that is putting to death the life of sin and embracing the mind of Christ. And I believe that will put to death the life of sin. We no longer live. In verse 2 it says, to our own fleshly lusts, following all the desires of the flesh, but rather that is put to death, and now we can follow the Lord and live to the will of the Lord. It says, but to the will of the Lord. So we do not follow all the lusts of the flesh and those things that are fleshly desires that cry out for or put to death, and we now reach out for the will of God, and we reach out to follow the will of God for our life, whatever that is. The will of God is different for everyone, but it is so important that we are seeking the will of God for our life, and if we're living within the will of God, it is peace. It brings peace. There's no better place to be found at the end of your life and the end of your when you die. It doesn't matter where you're living or where you're serving, as long as you're within the will of God. And when you're within the will of God, there is peace, and we are following after the will of God, even if it's hard. In our men's study, we're going through the disciplines of a godly man, and our last study was on the discipline of ministry, I believe it is, or forget exactly the title of it, but he lays out the two different choices that we can have. In many ways, we can choose an easy life and garter life, or we can put ourselves out there and experience hardship and put yourself out there serving the Lord, and it's harder. And you may wonder at times, why am I doing this? And it would be so much easier just going on vacation and doing the things you would like to do and all of the lists that you would like to do and just live that life, and you wouldn't be experiencing persecution. You wouldn't be experiencing suffering in this way. You wouldn't be experiencing a challenging schedule, and on you can go. But it is not the fulfilling life to just go after your own fleshly desires and what pleases you, but rather to seek the will of the Lord and be involved in ministry and be involved in kingdom work and be involved in what God has you and calls you to do. Not everyone's called to serve in the ministry. Not everyone's called to be a missionary. Not everyone's called to be a teacher. Not everyone's called to the same calling, but we all have areas to serve and a calling. And so I believe it's important to seek the will of God and to, even if it's bringing about hardship, even if it brings you to times where you're wondering, how am I ever going to get through this? Or what does God have in this? And there's times like that, thinking back over our ministry and my calling and what I was called to do and where things would be in my life and my family had I not followed the Lord. And it is always beautiful to see God blessing you as you serve where God calls you. So let's seek after the will of God and arm our minds with the mind of Christ. And the next one is bearing the strange look of the world. This one's real. In verse 4 it says, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. There should be times in our lives, and there should be connections we can make that people look at us and laugh at us and say, wow, I could never imagine living like that. I remember someone laughing at me, two men in town here, when they asked, what do I drink? They're drinking and social drinkers. And I said, well, I drink water. And they just couldn't imagine living a life without drinking any alcohol. And it's somewhat mocking me. That's fine. They think it's strange that you run not with them. I thank the Lord, and my children thank me that I totally abstained from alcohol. It was never in my fridge. It was never in my home, and I just don't need it. I can find the joy of the Lord, and the Holy Ghost brings this same joy. It says we're not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God, and that can bring you the joy of the Lord. And I do not need alcohol. There's other areas in my life. Some people have thought it strange and couldn't imagine living all your life without a TV. And I never had a TV. And I say that, you know, that was a decision the church made, that it wouldn't be good for families and children to be in front of a TV all the time. But now, let's face it, we have the TV. If you want to think about it honestly, I think I have the TV in my pocket. Let's just be honest about it. We're in different times right now, and we have to look at that, and we have to reconcile with that. We have to say, how can we live through these times? Because here we are. Years ago, the church said it wouldn't be good. And when I share that with some people, they say, yes, I understand. But now we have it. It's a little slow for us to acknowledge that, but we do. And we have to talk about ways to make sure it doesn't have the same effect that it did on many. And I also acknowledge that there's some that had it years ago and didn't make the same decision as we did with no TV, and they cannot imagine ever living like that. And some have did a good job. It's not that everyone was defiled by it, but there's a lot of trash on it. And we have to be honest, there's a lot of trash on here too. And so what are you going to do? They think it's strange. Some of the decisions we make, when we say we want to follow God, we want to be careful in our families, we want to be sincere, and we want to be a church that's here for the next generation. We want a church that's alive and holy so the next generation can come along and have a good church. What are we going to do so that we can guard these things? And many will think it's strange. They're not even thinking about these things. So bearing the strange look of the world is part of the Christian life. It is something we must get used to, and it's normal. Let's be different. As the Bible says, being holy and peculiar people, we're different people. The church should stand out, and the church should have a strange look. And we do not want to water down the gospel. We want people to come into the kingdom of God. We want people to be sincere in their walk with God. We want people that really hear God's voice, and we want people that really are sincere and make hard decisions. That is always a blessing when I see people wrestling through hard things and coming to hard decisions, saying, this is what God is asking me to do. Maybe laying aside some things that are good, but maybe not good for you. The next one here is living soberly and seriously and soberly. Verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. A serious mind is a mind that is taking on the mind of Christ, but a serious mind, a mind that is not about foolishness and foolish and dirty talking and laughing and joking and all of those things, but seriousness. We need to be seriously thinking. Talking last night, the family was together last night, and how many people are scammed today. My brother Darryl is part of fraud awareness, and he speaks a lot, and there's so many scams out there, and how people get sucked into them so innocently. They're sucked into, and some people just get scammed, and their mind is just caught up in it, and they're ready to go put $1,200 cash into a machine to secure their bank account. They're really not thinking. They got scammed, and their mind is not thinking properly. And many times in our Christian lives, we can fall into that same pattern where we're going along with what everyone else is doing and not really thinking, because we don't always follow the crowd, and we don't always do what everyone else is doing. And we must be, myself included, we must be thinking about what the Bible says. We must be thinking about our families and the future generation. We must be thinking about a truth and making hard decisions. Be sober, being careful and sound in our mind and our decisions, listening to God and being serious. Having fervent charity. Fervent charity, it says here, covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that we can have all kinds of sin in our church and charity is going to cover it all. It really means that if a church has fervent charity, it's going to take care of a lot of hurts and a lot of things will just be taken care of if the church has fervent charity and a genuine love like Jesus does. A lot of things will just fall under that and be taken care of. So fervent charity, being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then lastly, standing up under the fiery trial of persecution is in this verse chapter as well. Verse 12, it says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Do not think it strange if something comes into your life as a very fiery trial, a very difficult trial that you do not understand. It says, it is to try you and some strange thing happened unto you. I'm not sure what he's referring to here, but I remember a time in my life where I read this and was going through something in my life, and I just read this and I just didn't understand the trial. It was a fiery trial. It was a very difficult trial. I wanted it out of my life, and it is designed by God. According to this verse, we're to not think it strange or not be surprised. God may be up to something in your life. God may want to refine you. God may want to speak to you in a certain way. God may be bringing this into your life and it hurts. It is fiery. I wish it wouldn't be here. It is just difficult, but God is just saying, I want it to come. Don't think it's strange. If this comes into your life and if you have an experience like this in your life, God wants to refine you and just cry out to God. And hopefully in the other side, you'll say, praise God, I wouldn't want to give that experience up. And that's the way God works in many times. All of us have different trials and all of us have different experiences. But what Peter's saying here, don't think it's strange if a fiery trial comes unexpected and you don't understand, something hard is coming into your life, and God may be allowing it to come. But rejoice in the fact that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Rejoice, because we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And we understand the sufferings of Christ, and we're to take that same mind and say, look, that is the Christian's calling. There are different times in our lives where we're called to different things. So the encouragement this morning from the scriptures is, let's arm our minds with the mind of Christ, and particularly the mind, the Christian's call to suffer. It's a calling that comes to every Christian. It is not a guarantee that we'll live on a bed of roses as Christians. We'll not guarantee that our business will always flourish. We're not guaranteed that there will not come false accusations in our Christian life. We're not guaranteed those things, but we are guaranteed that every Christian is called to suffer. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word and how it calls us to a life of suffering. We are to be good soldiers of the cross, living out our faith, growing in our Christian lives, and being sincere in the calling that you've given to us and the will of God for each of our lives. Bless our church, bless our families, bless our young people, and I pray that we all together would cry out for more of Jesus, more of your will, and more of holiness and righteousness, more to be truly separate from the world and truly engulfed in service in the kingdom of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.